Okay, today what we're gonna start doing is looking at some logic. But if you're doing the SQL and are having some problems doing the SQL assignment, these handout is something that I think you might find helpful. And also from 5:30 to 7:30 today.
In the same class or?
Okay. Eric will be around today at 2 and also from 5:30 to 7:30. We decided to try that and see if some people that are taking distance learning would find those hours better. So we're experimenting with hours. And Thursday from 2 to 4. It makes sense if you're having any problems whatsoever, or just if you want help, or just if you want to talk it over with somebody, to set up study groups and come in during the time he's here and work with the study group. Study groups are a really good way to study and make sure you understand it and work with your peers. So if you have friends that want to form a study group, that seems to me to be a good way to go. If you are doing the SQL database and are having some problems, some SQL examples of some stuff that I wrote up to kind of give you some further hints on writing SQL. So I would take a look at that if you're still working on the SQL database. Okay? I'm behind in homework. I was sick this weekend, and so I'll get caught up eventually. So, right now we are going to start out by looking at logical if structures. Okay, there are three things that make, are required to, for a language to call itself a programming language. It has to be able to allow select sequence, selection, which are also decisions, if statements, and loops. So a programming language has to have those three things. Sequence means you go boom, first instruction, second instruction, third instruction, fourth instruction, and you just do them in sequence. Selection means you ask questions and process according to the answer. And loops means that you can do something over and over and over again. Okay, you have 10,000 people on your payroll. You can go through and process each record individually. And you see that in Access. Access, you put in criteria, and it checks to see if the first record meets the criteria. And then it checks to see if the second record meets the criteria. And then it checks to see if the third record meets the criteria. And if any of the records meet the criteria, they get displayed. And if they don't meet the criteria, they don't get displayed. So Access is really looping through your records, checking each one according to your criteria. Okay? So now what we're going to do is look some more at selection or if statements. And I want to look at the presentation on logical if structures. So the first one is showing a very simple if. And I am saying if amount is greater than 5,000, I want to do a calculation, which means take amount, multiply it by 10, and put the result into answer. Okay? So I'm saying take amount, multiply by 10, and put the result into answer. This is showing the flowchart. This is showing the pseudocode. So if amount is greater than 5,000, I'm doing the calculation. I'm taking the memory variable called amount, multiplying it by 10, and putting it in answer. What is this sign called? What's that? Yeah.
Equal sign?
Nope. And you thought all these years it was an equal
sign.
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 Huh?
It's the assignment.
That's right. It's the assignment sign. This is the assignment sign. Okay? And so I'm saying, do the calculation and assign it to answer. So I'm assigning the result to answer. Okay? So if you were working in Access, we wouldn't be doing a calculation really, although calculations can be done in Access, just not at the level we're at. But this would be more of a display the record. So under the intersection of amount and 5,000, you would be saying display the record. Okay, so you would want to put under the intersection of criteria and amount, you would have greater than 5,000. And so if it was greater than 5,000, it would display the record. And as I said, there are ways of doing calculations in Access, but we haven't gotten into those and won't in this class. Okay, so that's a simple if. The next one is also a simple if, but it has a yes and a no. And the no is handled in the code with an else. So I'm saying if amount is greater than 5,000, do this calculation. Else, and there's the else, do a different calculation. And then I have the end if that ends the if. And in the flowchart, this is the end if. So I have if amount is greater than 5,000, do one calculation, else do another calculation, and then I end the if. So I can either think up the logic in the flowcharts or pseudocode. A lot of you told me that you are turned out to be visual learners, and I am. So I kind of prefer flowcharts because the graphic, if I'm working on a complex logic, I tend to prefer that because the graphics are easier for me. But other people prefer pseudocode. Okay, now on this one, I have got two questions that I'm asking. And again, if instead of saying move OK to message, I said display the record, then inventory code equals A and amount greater than 5,000 are two things in an AND relationship. So in Access, I would have inventory code was one field, and on the criteria line, I put an A under that. And amount, under the amount field, I would put greater than 5,000 on the criteria line. And they'd both be on the criteria line because they're in an AND relationship. Here I'm saying if inventory code equals A, then continue on. If not, I'm done. And if it does equal A, I'm asking is amount greater than 5,000? And if it is, I move OK to message. And that should have two quotes there. You'll see that throughout this because copy and paste is a wonderful thing. And once you make a mistake, you can extend it all over the place if you copy and paste it. Okay, so you will see that all over the place in this handout. So, notice that I am embedding the second if within the first if, and I'm doing some indenting that makes it more readable. Computers don't care if you do indenting, but people do. So it's a little more readable if it's indented. So I'm saying if inventory code equals A, then drop down to the next question. and ask, is amount greater than 5,000? And if it is, then drop down and move okay to the field call message. Okay? And if I were writing that in most languages, I would say message equals okay. Then the no has nothing to do. So notice that I end the if. And the no on the code question has nothing to do, so I just end that if. So I end my two ifs. Now the way the end if works is the end if connects itself back to the first available if, to the first if that doesn't have an end if. So it connects back to the first available if. So this one connects to that. Then when this one wants to connect, it doesn't have anything to connect. It can't connect to this one because it's already taken, so it has to connect up there. So that's how the end ifs connect. Now on this one, I turned it into a compound because I said, if inventory code equals A and amount is greater than 5,000, move OK to message. So I can combine them in an and. And you saw that also in SQL. If you've written the SQL things, you would say here, where inventory code equals A and amount greater than 500. You know, select asterisks and display, if you were displaying a record, select asterisks from the file where inventory code equals A and amount is greater than 5,000. Okay. So I can do a compound there. Okay, now on this one, I have got something to do on the nodes. So if you follow this, I'm saying if inventory code equals A, if amount is greater than 5,000, move OK to message. And then I want to do the else. So I say else, move problem to message. And that ends that if. So I've got them all connected. That ends that if. Then I come over to if inventory code equals A, and this else connects up there, as does the end if. So I'm now saying if inventory code is not equal to A, move problem to message. Now, these two are the same. So I don't care which one I got a no to. If I got a no to either one, I want to move problem to message. So since I want to do the same thing, I can say if inventory code equals A, and amount is greater than 5,000, move OK to message. Else, move problem to message. Okay? So I can combine those and say if this is true and this is true, move OK to message. Else, move problem to message. Now, if these were different messages, I couldn't do that. If they were different messages, I could not do that. Because I would come to the else and I would say, oops, which one do I put out? If they're different messages, which one do I put out? So if they're different messages, I can't make it a compound. And this is a compound. And I've got a compound with the and. Isn't that pretty? When I pick it up, I get a little green or something's touching wrong. Bizarre. Okay. So just to carry on that thought, if we look down here, in this case, I've said if inventory code equals A, then ask about amount. But if inventory code does not equal A, I have nothing to do. When I ask about amount, I say, okay, if the amount is greater than 5,000, and I already know it's inventory code of A, move okay. If it's not greater than 5,000, move problem. So here's how I wrote it. If inventory code equals A, if amount is greater than 5,000, move okay to message. Else, move problem to message. Inventory code has nothing on the no, so there's no else. It just ends. Okay, it just ends. Now, could this be made a compound?
No.
No. Why?
Because you have no message for the first.
Exactly. When I come to the else, I say, well, wait a minute. If the code isn't an A, I don't want to do anything. If the amount isn't right, I want to move problem. Which do I do? And I can't figure out which to do in the else. So I can't make a compound. I can't combine the two questions with an and, because I have different things happening if I get a no to question one and if I get a no to question two. I have different things happening. So I can't make this compound. Okay? Questions. About now there should be questions. Questions? Yes.
So a compound is when you combine two questions with an and?
And or with an or, we'll see. Yep, we're going to be going on and combining two questions with an or. But so far, we've only combined them with an and. Okay. So now, the next one, could this be made a compound? No, because there are different messages. I can't make it a compound because these are different. Different, so no compound. Okay, notice how this works. I asked about the A, and if the A is true, I embed the entire if statement inside there, including the else and the end if. And then if A is not true, I drop down to the else and put in its message and then end its if. Okay. And I cannot make it a compound because they're different. Okay, on the next one, we're going to get into the or. Come on. This is an or relationship. I'm saying either of these have to be true. Either the inventory code has to be an A, or the amount has to be greater than 5,000. I don't care which it is, but one of them has to be true. So I'm saying here, if inventory code equals A, then move OK to message. Else, and again, the no is the else. Else, I have a whole nother question to ask. Is amount greater than 5,000? If it is, move OK to message. If it's not, I have nothing to do, so I don't put in an else. I just put in an end if. And then I end the end if for the A question. Okay.
What did you mean by make it compound?
use an and or an or. Combine two conditions with an and or an or. Or an or.
Okay.
Okay? So, could this one be made compound?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. This one can be made compound. And on the next one, I did that.
I'm so sorry.
Okay, so here I say, if inventory code equals A, move okay to message. Okay, and if it's not, move okay to message. In some place I have the compound for that. Okay, there it is. Okay, if inventory code equals A, or amount is greater than 5,000, move okay to message. So I've got a compound there. Either one of those is fine. So it's a compound. Either inventory code equals A, or amount is greater than 5,000. And I can combine them because the messages are the same. So since these are the same, I can combine them and say, if inventory code equals A, or amount is greater than 5,000, move OK to message. Okay? Now on this one, I am putting in the an activity over here. So I'm saying, if inventory code equals A, move OK to message. Else, ask the next question. And that next question is embedded inside, where I say, if amount is greater than 5,000, move OK to message, else move problem to message. End that if. Okay? And at that point, when I end that if, I can end the inventory code if as well. Because it was, do this, else ask another question. And now I'm done with the inventory code equals A question. Okay, do you see how that works? Does it make sense? Please ask if it doesn't make sense, because this stuff is going to come back to haunt you, I promise. Okay, in this one I made a compound. And again, I can make the compound because these two are the same. So I said, if inventory code equals A, move OK to message. Okay, so I can also, and then I have, if amount is greater than 5,000, move OK to message. I can combine those and say, if inventory code equals A, or amount is greater than 5,000, move OK to message. Otherwise, move problem. So now I have, if chance one is inventory code equal A, chance two is amount greater than 5,000. And if I don't get a yes to either of those chances, I've run out of chances, and I want to let the world know, so I say move problem to message. Okay. On the next one, I have different messages. I have different messages. These messages are different. And so therefore, I can't do a compound. I can't say if inventory code equals A or amount greater than 5,000 because what message would I put there? They're different. So if I say if inventory code equals A, or amount is greater than 5,000, move, what is it that I'm supposed to move to message?
Problem.
Since they're different, I can't make it a compound.
I have to do it with the simple ifs. Questions? About now, it really should be. I think. Okay. This is my kind of classic one that I gave you in Access. If inventory equals A, this has to be true. This has to be true. And then either of these. So I have one thing that has to be true, and then either of these. So if I were in Access, and I had a field called inventory code, and a field called amount first, and a field called amount second, A would have to show up on both. This is the criteria line, and this is the OR line. A would have to show up on both, because it has to be true. Amount first greater than 500, or amount second greater than 200 would show up like that. So I would be saying inventory code has to be true. So that means the criteria and the OR line both have the A. And either amount first is greater than 500 on the criteria line, or amount second is greater than 200 on the OR line. Amount first tested on the criteria line, amount second on the OR line. And if I were writing this in SQL, I would be saying where, I would be saying select asterisks from whatever file it is, where inventory code equals A, and either, so I put parenthesis, amount first is greater than 500, or amount second is greater than 200. So that's how I would write that. Where inventory code equals A, and either amount first is greater than 500, or amount second is greater than 200. So that's how I would write those in Access. Again, assuming that the thing to do is display the record, not move the message. So we're assuming that the thing to do is display the record. So, I'm going to take all this ink away. Mainly so it will be clear. So now I'm saying if inventory code equals A, if it's not, I drop right down to the end if. I'm out of here. If it is equal to A, then I want to ask all of this stuff. So I say, if amount first is greater than 500, move OK to message. Else, if it's not, here's my second chance. Is amount second greater than 200? If it is, move OK to message. Then I end the inner if, end the middle if, end the outer if. And again, ends attach themselves to an available if above. And if the if has already got an end if, then it has to find another. Questions? Okay. On this one, I can make it a compound. So I can say, only I need to get this over someplace, like over there maybe. I can say, if inventory code equals A, and either amount first greater than 500, or amount second greater than 200, close the parenthesis. So this would be the same way I would write it in SQL. Only on SQL, it would be in a where clause. But I'd still be saying, if inventory, I'd still be saying where inventory code equals A. And either, and put the either in parentheses. Because ands get resolved before ors. So I have to have the parentheses there. Otherwise, it would take and put the two things around the and together, and the or would stand alone. And that's coming up in a later slide. Questions? Okay, I really think I should be getting some questions. I can't possibly be that clear. I just can't. Okay. Here's another option. If you look at the pseudocode, I can write this as if inventory code equals A, and then I can decide to combine just those two. So I say, if inventory code equals A, then drop down and ask about the others. And say, okay, inventory code is an A. Now, is amount first greater than 500, or amount second greater than 200? If either of those are true, I'm moving okay to message. So I combine those, and that's another way that this could be coded. Okay? Yeah?
What if they weren't true?
If they're not true, I'm going to do nothing. If inventory code isn't A, I'm going to do nothing. And if those two both get a no, I do nothing. Okay? So I'm not going to do anything, basically, if I don't... if I'm not satisfied. Okay, now this one I took out the parenthesis. Now when I take out the parenthesis, that means these two combine. And this one stands alone. So that means I ask about inventory code equals A and amount first greater than 500 and I move OK. But if I get a no to amount first, I still have to do the standalone and ask about amount second. And if I get a no to inventory code, I still have to do the standalone and ask about amount second. So I combine the first two, and if the first two are true, that's fine. But if amount is not, amount first is not greater than 500, I gotta ask about amount second. And if inventory code is not equal to A, I have to ask about amount second, because amount second stands alone. Now that's kind of a pain in the neck way of doing it, if indeed that's what I wanted. If I take and look at the next slide. In this slide, I ask the standalone question first. And by asking it first, I said, okay, if amount second is greater than 100, move okay. If not, then check these two that are combined. And if both of those are true, move okay. So it was just easier to change the order that I asked the questions. Does that make sense? Sorry, but you gotta listen to me today. We'll do some interactive stuff with it another day. Come on, I want to get down there. Okay. So, I went back to if inventory equals A, and either of these things is true. But notice that I have different messages. So in fact, there are three different messages. All messages are different. So that means no combining, no compound. If all the messages are different, I have to ask all the questions individually. Yeah.
So in order to be a compound, they all have to be the same message?
Not all the same, but the things that you're turning into a compound have to be the same.
So
okay.
If I set the first two, and let's say the first two are like a compound.
If these two are the same,
yeah.
Yes, then I can ask a compound question there.
Okay.
Okay. So I said, yeah.
So yeah, I wasn't here earlier, so what's the difference between that and like them being compounds?
If you make them compound, you're combining two conditions in one if statement with an and or an or.
Okay.
And if they, all of these are just individual if statements. So in some of the back examples, when the message was the same, I could combine them. So for example, let's go back just a little bit. That one. Okay. This one I ended up making compound. There it is. This one I ended up making compound. Because these messages were the same, and everything else was do nothing. So I said, if inventory code equals A, and either of these, so I have to put the parenthesis, and amount first is greater than 500, or amount second is greater than 200, move okay the message. Okay, so if those are the, if I get inventory code equals A, which it has to be true in this case, because if it's not true, notice I drop right out. Okay, if inventory code is not A, I drop right out. But if inventory code equals A, then one of those has to be true. And I don't care which one, so I give the same message, whichever one is true. Okay? Does that make more sense? Okay, good. So down here on 18, I made them all different messages. And in fact, I threw in an extra message over here. So now I'm saying if inventory code is not equal to A, I will do nothing. But if it is equal to A, if amount first is greater than 500, I put out that message. Else, and else means take the no branch. If amount second is greater than 200, put out that message. Else, put out problem. And then I end the ifs as they go down. I end the bottom if, and those circles that I put at the bottom of the flowcharts of the end ifs. Now the last one is actually adding one more to this. So let's look at that. I added one more. I added that. New code problem to message. So now everything has a message. There's nothing that just falls through. So I'm saying if inventory code is A, if amount first is greater than 200, move 500 okay. Else, I take the no. Is amount second greater than 200? If it is, move out a message. Else, move out problem. And then I end that if, because it's the innermost if. Then I back out and end that if. And then I have an else to the question about code being A. And if the code is not A, I move code problem to message. And if you understand that one, then you pretty much understand the world that we've gone over. So if that makes sense, we're in good shape. Questions? That was a hint that you should ask a question if you don't understand. Yes?
So So a lot of these statements are interchangeable, right? Like you can rearrange them in terms of like chronologically how you place it in the code?
Yes. Yes. As long as you do it right.
Yep.
There are also ways to do it wrong.
Yeah, as long as the statements remain the same.
Right. Okay. And again, these are two ways to think through logic. Doing flowcharts or doing pseudocode are just two ways of thinking through logic. Okay? So, that finishes that presentation. And now what I want to look at the next one about loops. Because remember I said... Is that one the one? Yes. Okay, remember I said there were three things, and this shows the three things. Programming logic involves three things, three structures. The sequence structure, the selection structure, and the looping structure. And the looping structure means iteration, doing something over and over and over again. One of the wonderful parts about computers is that if you have 10,000 employees and you want to give them all a paycheck, the computer can do that a lot better, a lot faster, because it doesn't get bored, as opposed to people writing out 10,000 paychecks and doing the calculations for each paycheck. Okay, so looping and iteration is just very important. So I have here sequence, selection, which are decisions, and looping. And those are the three things that I have to have. Okay, now, with looping, there are two possible ways of doing it. One of these, all of them require a condition. Because if I go into a loop, and I don't have a condition to get me out, I'll stay there forever. And I did that once as a programmer learning how to program. I wrote something and I forgot to have the condition to get me out. And somebody came out and handed me a pile of papers about this thick and said, "Did you really want to print this person's name that many times?" Because I kept processing the same record over and over again, and I didn't have a way to get out. Okay, so I learned my embarrassed lesson and started being sure that I put in a way to get out. So a condition will test for the way to get out. If you're reading a file, you will test like if end of file, meaning if the file is done, I want to get out. If you're doing a counter and say, "I want to do this 25 times, then you count how many times you do it, and when you pass 25, you get out. Okay? So the condition, and then you have a processing. Now, with this one, there's the possibility that you will never get, that you will never process. Because if you ask the condition, the question, and you get a no to the question, you'll never process. So if the first time you ask the question, you give a no. So let's say you have a file and there are no records in it. Okay? So the condition is it end of file? Well, when you try to read, it would be end of file, and so it would never do any processing. Okay? It would just drop out. So it's possible to never process this way. And lots of times that's what a programmer wants to do, is to never process. Okay. On the next one, I process and then ask a question. So if I do this style, I will always process at least once. Because I come in and I process, always. And then I ask, should I do it again? But the question comes after the processing, so I will always process at least once. And those are the kinds of ways that people set these loops up. Okay, so an example is, this is an example. I am starting my program and I'm doing an initializing read. So I'm reading from a file. So I'm doing an initializing read, and your book talks about initializing reads. They're reads to get a first record. They're kind of like priming the pump. Get a record in there so I can process it. So I do an initializing read. Then I ask the question, is it not in the file? If it is in the file, I will drop out and stop. Okay, so if it's in the file, I'll drop out. If it's not in the file, I process the record, and then I read another record. I go around. If that record is there, it's not in the file. So I process record 2, and I read record 3. I go around. If record 3 was there, it's not in the file. I process, and I read. And I keep going through that loop forever until it hits end of file. When it finally hits end of file, then I stop, drop out, and I stop. In pseudocode, that gets written as read a record, do while not end of file, process, read a record, loop back, and I keep looping back. This code line here, end of the while loop, doesn't mean to stop the loop. It means this is the end of the code that makes the loop. This is the end of the loop code. And so when I hit that, I go back, just like I did with the arrow up there. I go back, do while not in the file. As long as it's not in the file, I process and read. Then I go back. As long as it's not in the file, I process and read. Then I go back, and if it's now in the file, I drop out of the loop to the end of the loop code, and I stop. Does that make sense? What we're doing today is looking at theory, and then we're going to play all kinds of interesting things to try to make sure you understand the theory. Okay, so on this one I'm doing a counter. So let's say that I put in memory a start point and I put a 1 in it. And I'm picking up the names of things I have in here. I put in a stop point and I put a 5 in it. And I have a memory variable called counter. So now I'm going to follow the flowchart. The first thing it does is it says assign start point to counter. Okay? So that means make counter 1, because I'm assigning start point to counter. Then I immediately test, is counter less than start point? Is it? Yes, 1 is less than 5. So I process, and let's say I have a screen and I write the information about record 1 on the screen. Then I increment the counter, so it's now 2. And I go back. Is the counter less than the stop point? Yeah. So I process record 2, I increment the counter, and I go back. Is the counter less than the stop point? Yeah, 3 is less than 5. So I process record 3, I increment the counter, and I go back. Is the counter less than the stop point? Yeah, 4 is less than 5. So I process 4, add 1, making it 5, and I go back. Is counter less than the stop point?
No.
No. So what do?
Stop.
Stop, I drop out. Maybe I should have put a stop here. Okay, so I drop out. So whatever came next. What came next might be doing something else, who knows? But probably it stopped. Might be right a total of how many did I process or something. Okay? So that's a logic flowchart, and the pseudocode is also there. Okay. Now the next one is doing it the other way. Okay, so what I'm going to do there, wait a minute, I didn't get down to the next one. Okay, let's not do that during class, please. So I start out and I've got the start pointer, the start point. I've got the stop point. And I've got the counter. So the one and the five again. So again, the first thing it says is the counter is being set to start point. So it's being set to one. Now I am processing before I check. So that means I'm not checking, I'm always going to process. So I process record one, okay, because I didn't check. Then I increment the counter to two, okay? And when I increment the counter to two, I then check. Is counter not equal to the stop point? No, two is not equal to five. So I follow the yes, and I go up here, and I process record two. Then I increment the counter to three. Three is not equal to five, so I loop back up. I process record three, I increment the counter to four, and then I say the counter's not equal, so I go up, I process record four, I increment the counter. Counter is not equal, no, counter is equal now, so I drop out. Okay? So those are two ways that you can handle doing a loop. Now, the key thing here is when you do a loop, you need to initialize the counter outside the loop to a specific start point. And I did that here. Then you need to increment the counter inside the loop. And I did. I added one to counter. And you need to test the counter to determine whether or not you want to loop again. And those three things are the key things to making it work.
You might both create the type of loop, right?
Yes. Yeah. If you look back at the other one, I had the same things written there. Hello. Did you take that down? Yes. Yeah, I had the same thing there. I'm initializing the counter, and the green shows that. I'm testing the counter, and the orange blue shows that. And I'm processing, or incrementing, rather, and the increment shows that. And obviously, I'm processing because I want to do something. I don't want to just count. Okay? Questions? Yeah?
All right, so when you would join, you increment it up to, like, the stop point is 5, but... like, for your records, you only start the fourth, you'll only have one less record for every, like, when.
Well, I set my counter and said I want to count, I don't want to do the stop point. That was my decision. If I'd said less than or equal to, then I would have done the stop point. So I can make the decision. And that's a good point. If I say counter is less than stop point and stop point is 5, I'll never hit 5. I'll never process 5. But I say keep doing it while the counter is less than or equal to stop point, then I will include 5. Because less than or equal to will catch 5. Okay? Questions? Okay. Okay. What I want to do now is the practice exercise. And we are going to run through this. So what I've got here is a little pseudocode that involves setting some variables, and I broke my rules. The result there, it has an embedded space, but down here it doesn't, so it was a mistake, not a rule break. I'm setting some variables up here. And then I'm doing a loop. And then when the loop is done, I'm calculating a result and displaying the result. Okay, so I'm going through and doing some pseudocode. So I'm going to start out, and I've got first num. So first num is starting out at 100. And second num is starting out at 5. And third num is starting out at 12. And the result, and I'm going to get rid of that space, is starting out at 0. So I've got these four memory variables, and I've set them up in memory, and I've given them an initial value. So the variables are starting out with those variables, those results. So now what I want to do is I'm going to be doing a loop, and I'm going to be doing an if statement inside the loop. So the if statement has an if, it has an else, and it has an and if. The loop starts up here with the do while, and this says end loop. And again, end loop, end while loop doesn't mean that I should end doing the loop. It means that that's the end of the code that's inside the loop. Between the do while and the end while, I put the code that is inside the loop. And I want to do that code over and over and over again. And I want to do it until that condition is met. So there's the condition. And when that condition is met, then I'll stop doing the loop. But I'll keep doing the loop until that condition is met. Okay. So I'm going to start out, and I'm saying do while second num is less than or equal to third num. Okay, so am I going to do the loop? Yes, because 5 is less than 12, right? Yeah. So now I go in. Is first num greater than 500?
No.
So what am I going to do? Yes. Right. I'm going to do the else. So if first num is greater than 500, I would do these things. So if it was true, I would do those things. If it's false, I will do those two things. And it's false, so I'm going to do those two things. Okay? So that means that I am adding 100 to first num, which gets it up to 200, right? And then I'm subtracting 1 from third num, which gets it down to 11. Now that's the end of the if. It's also the end of the code for the loop. So at that point, I am going to loop back. And now I'm going to check and see if I want to do the loop again. So I'm asking, is the second num less than or equal to the third num? Is it?
Yes.
Yes. Then I'm asking, is first num greater than 500?
No.
No. So what am I going to do? add 100. And what am I doing here?
Subtract one.
Okay. And that's the end of the if, and that's the end of the loop, and I didn't add correctly. Okay. So now I go back and I say, okay, is second num still less than or equal to third num?
Yes.
Yes. Is first num greater than 500?
No.
No. So I add 100 and I've got 400 and I subtract 1 and I'm down to 9. Okay? So then I go back and I ask again, is second num less than or equal to third num? Notice though what's happening. I'm making a change that affects the condition inside the loop. Okay? I'm changing third num, or I've got to change second num. I've got to make a change to one of those, because if I don't change one of those, it will be an endless loop. It will keep doing it forever. I've got to change one of them. And here I'm changing third num. So I go back and I say, is it less than no? I think I'm at the right place.
Yeah.
Add one, and it's 500. And then I'm down to 8, right? So then I go back up again, and I say, is second num less than or equal to third num?
Mm-hmm.
It's still less than or equal to, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what do I do? All right, is the first num greater than 500?
No.
No, okay? It is 500, but it's not greater than. So what do I do? So I add 1 to it, and I subtract 1 over here. And then I go back. Second num less than or equal to third num?
Yep.
And then I say, is first num greater than 500?
Yes.
Yes. So now what do I do?
Multiply by 2.
I multiply it by 2, which is 1,200. And what else do I do? Right. And again, notice how this works. I say, take second num, add 1 to it, and assign it back to second num. So second num keeps growing. So then I go back up. Is second num less than or equal to third num? Yes. So I go in. Is first num greater than 500?
Yes.
So what do? So I double this. And what do I do over here?
Second number, sorry.
What do I do?
Add one.
So now it's 7. Okay, so that is the end of the if and the end of the loop, and I go back. So now I'm asking, is second num less than or equal to third num?
Yes.
Okay, it's equal. So is first num greater than 500?
Yes.
So I double this again, and I add 1 to this, the second num. So then I go back. Do our second num is less than or equal to third num, is it?
No.
So what do I do now? I go to the result. So the result adds the 3 up, so what do I get? And I display it. So I added it up, and now I display it on the screen. So I got a screen that now will say 4815. I displayed it on the screen. Okay. Does that make sense? Okay, we went a lot faster. That just happens with you guys. Wait a minute. Restore the code, please. Thank you. Okay, so try number 2.